I like kind of minimalist kind of cinematography where it's not really like a show off kind of approach. You know, it should always serve the story and be invisible to a certain extent.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Hello, you're very welcome to another episode of F&I Rap Chat. We are trying out some new format things. It's great to have Larry McGowan doing a little bit of editing for us, and we are trying to make it all the better for your listening pleasure. So yeah, let's see how this goes. So today on the podcast we have the very, very talented filmmakers Ross Killeen and the cinematographer Narian Van Male. So Narian has come up, his name has come up a lot on the podcast, on different projects, different filmmakers who work with him. For example, Tristan Heaney, Ian Hunt Duffy, and Ross, of course, Ross Killeen works with him a lot. So it was great to have him on and kind of get his take on how he approaches films. And it was great to chat to them about their film Love Yourself today, about Damien Dempsey, kind of part concert film, part spiritual documentary. It's a wonderful piece of work. I was lucky enough to see it at the premiere in Galway. And there are screenings all over the country. So if you look it up, Love Yourself today, you should hopefully find one near you. And it will get a general release in Ireland on the 5th of November. And yeah, bring a few mates and go and have a bit of a cry for yourself. It's a fantastic piece of work. So let's go to Narian and Ross Killeen. Okay, we are in the studio with Ross Killeen and Narian Van Male. How are you guys doing?
Good. Very good, Paul, thanks.
So we've had you on, Ross. So we've had your creation story.
My tale of woe.
Yeah. Ross Killeen Begins. We've had that. Yeah. So we'll come back to you. Narian, we've heard your name on this podcast a lot. Lots of different filmmakers that you've collaborated with have been on. So it's great to have you on finally. So maybe just tell us about how you came to cinematography.
When my acting career failed, I did, as a kid, always wanted to be an actor because my brother was the filmmaker in the family.
Okay.
So I was always acting in his little home movies. But then we moved to Ireland and he actually stayed in Luxembourg.
Okay.
Finishing school there. So I had, being away from his fascination from cinema, I actually realized that, oh, it's actually something that I enjoy myself. So I went to the IADT and got started. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I went to IADT exactly, but it's a great course for kind of discovering all the different roles, you know. So yeah, I discovered cinematography there and stuck with it ever since.
Had you wanted to be a director there, or were you genuinely open to trying everything?
Yeah, generally. I didn't necessarily want to be a sound man, but sound is... I dabbled in that as a kid myself with my little mini disc recording sounds and stuff. So it could have been an avenue, but I went there just wanted to make movies. So wanting to dabble in it and then found filmmaking, cinematography, sorry.
What age were you when the family ended up in Ireland?
I was 16.
Okay. Was that a big disruption?
It certainly was, yeah. I did not want to come over here. At all. Like we came here on holidays all the time and I absolutely loved Ireland. I felt like homesick for Ireland when we went back to Luxembourg.
All right.
But then, you know, when you're like 14, 15, that's when the Irish lads want to come and fight. And the thought of having to go to school with these lads wasn't appealing. So, and at that time, it's kind of when you find your friends. So in Luxembourg, I found my circle of friends. I was very happy where I was.
Right.
And then I had to leave. But as soon as we moved here, it was great. I love Ireland.
What part did you move to?
County Mayo.
Oh, so right, okay. So you've settled there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what was the first kind of that you see kind of as your first proper thing that you did kind of coming out of college that you were proud of?
I don't know. I mean, I came out of college at the like recession time, so I kind of did a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And that's where I met Ross actually as well, like doing like corporates and stuff. So right. he had just started his company, Event Junkies. It was like shoot, edit, and deliver in 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it was just him.
Yeah.
And he hired me on a few jobs. So I'd shoot stuff and he'd edit in the background and it'll be out. It was out the next day.
Right.
And I did jobs like that, event jobs really, and short films and music videos. And yeah, slowly it felt like a slow kind of, at a slow pace getting anywhere.
Yeah.
But everyone seemed to be in the same boat back then. So it just felt like that was the thing to do and I was stuck at it. And yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. And what kind of style do you think you've developed over the years? Like, or what, how would you describe your style of working?
I like kind of minimalist kind of cinematography where it's not really like a show off kind of approach. You know, it should always serve the story and be invisible to a certain extent. But then I've done a lot of kind of handheld stuff and that seemed to be kind of what people got me to do, came out of doing a few projects like that. Like we did a film with Ian Hunt Duffy. It was called Gridlock, and that was all handheld, but it was actually never meant to be handheld. It just happened like that because due to budget reasons and time, there was no other way of doing it.
Right.
But I always like that kind of immediacy of handheld, just being in there and reacting to the moment. So it's also something that I kind of took from my kind of documentaries I would have done earlier on. And yeah, I love that work and bringing kind of documentary elements into the fiction world and kind of mixing both of them together.
And what's your first thing when you get offered? Do you kind of start making lists? Do you start researching? Do you start watching other films to get ideas?
Yeah, I'd read the script and first I'd just read it for the story. And then I'd read it again and images pop up. And often, like, it depends kind of with different directors, like they'd be maybe less technically orientated and I'd maybe do a pass of the shot list and they do a pass of the shot list and we kind of combine them. And other directors do their own shot list and then we just kind of elaborate on that on the day. So yeah, it's just watching movies, looking at references and talking to the director. But I find you really find your feet on like first week of the project is when you really, this style kind of presents itself and you just run with it.
When you're actually shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Ross, talk about your kind of process. You go back a good bit with Narian, so
yeah.
Just talking about how you guys work together.
Yeah, like you said, I guess in the early days, met Narian, just, you know, I was doing that thing, Event Junkies, and I was working with a lot of different camera guys, you know, and Narian was someone I always, like, you know, we always hit it off really well, and, you know, sometimes I'd be editing and I'd be like, oh, you know, why didn't I get a shot of that? Why didn't I get a shot of that? Where's this? You know, but with Narian, there was never that issue. You know, the really great eye and, you know, just kind of shot things the way I liked, you know, without me having to ask, you know, that way. So that was always great. And then as everything grew, our ambitions grew, started to do shorts, it was like, you know, who do I want to shoot the short? Narian was the guy, really, you know. And we did a lot of, like, before we shot 99 Problems, which was the short film that we did before Love Yourself Today, we did a lot of kind of cool, you know, I guess content brandedy pieces, like we did a thing for Dulux, which was great. Now I didn't direct that, Adam Patterson directed it, but I was producing it. And Arian just did a beautiful job on that. And then we did a thing, we went around Ireland, Wild Atlantic Way, and, you know, we did some really nice work together. And it was always just very easy to work with Arian. We just kind of hit it off in that sense. We kind of, I think, very similar. Yeah, I like that kind of minimalist style as well, you know, just letting the shots breathe. And, you know, I kind of like things quite natural, not overly, you know, lit and what's the word?
Stylized.
Thank you. Yeah, I like just like things to be quite natural and real. So yeah, for particularly for Love Yourself Today, that felt like the right approach.
Yeah.
But we worked together on 99 Problems, which was the short film we made about Pinky, the ice cream man, and it was kind of the murky side of the ice cream world. And that was kind of, I guess, the first film project we worked together on.
Yeah.
And yeah, because did you carry through a style? I mean, that was the first kind of documentary. I know you worked on ads together. I think you guys, the Dublin Louis MacNeice poem was...
No, well, I did that. Narian didn't shoot that one. No. That was Simon Welsh.
Got my research wrong there.
Yeah, we did the...
Tealings.
Yeah, we've done a few. Well, we went to Tokyo together with Heineken, which was a great trip.
Yeah.
Culminated in a late night karaoke session, which Narian absolutely nailed. we had some great trips together, and it's like, you know, yourself, you work with people and you build a shorthand and a level of trust and understanding.
Yeah,
that's really important when you're in, certainly shooting docs where, you know, things are happening and you got to capture them. And and if you don't, you've missed it, you know. And if that person doesn't get what you're looking to capture, then it's a big problem, you know. So for 99 Problems, yeah, it was great to work with Narian on that. And we kind of talked about how we'd shoot it and, you know, kind of bringing it into that cartoon kind of style. And everything was kind of, all the shots were quite carefully planned, without interrupting what was happening, you know, just really picking the spots. And
it's probably nice to work on like longer projects where you have a bit more room to explore. Like after, you know, I guess you kind of hone that kind of working relationship in the ads, and then you have a bit more. And then again with Damo, you've got a lot more room then.
Like the ads are great, but ultimately, you know, you don't get the final say in kind of what it's going to look like and every shot that should be in it. And
yeah, or the satisfaction of actually having made something that's, you know, not just
to sell stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course. So, obviously we all want to make films, you know, and it's great just to be getting the opportunity to do that now, you know.
And now, was the first for Love Yourself Today, was the first thing that you had to do, was that the concert element of it? And how did you approach that?
No, we did a proof of concept in July, wasn't it?
July 2019, yeah.
So we filmed filmed with two of the characters that we ended up following then for the documentary, and we did the Ivy Gardens concert as well. But for the actual doc then, we shot off for all of December. So actually the concert was the very last thing we did. It was the 3 days at Vicker Street, filmed the live gig with multiples of cameras. But for the rest of this time, it was quite an intimate crew. It was just myself on camera, Graham on sound.
Graham Newcomb.
Right.
Louise Byrne was there helping out. She's a producer.
Yeah.
And we had production assistant Aaron.
Aaron McEnany.
So it was quite small. I didn't have a focus puller, for example. But yeah, it was an intimate crew. So we just shot the three characters we followed. There was a fourth one, but it didn't make it into the movie at the end, unfortunately. Yeah,
just to backtrack on that, like, obviously, for those not familiar with the film, it's a half concert film, half documentary, centered around the music of Damien Dempsey. So brought it to Damo at the start of 2019, And when I got the kind of green light to go ahead and make it, that was kind of like talking to Narian then at that point, you know, how do we shoot this? And, you know, we were obviously hadn't got the funding in place at that point. So we thought it'd be a good idea to shoot a kind of a proof of concept, a promo, if you like. So we went to Ivy Gardens. Damiel does the gig there every summer. And we shot at that and we shot with the characters around that and cut together something that represented what we wanted to do with the feature film, which was brilliant. That was actually great.
We nailed the style straight away. It felt right straight away, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was very natural and it was good kind of, I guess, training run for the real thing as well for ourselves. Yeah. But like it just felt very obvious how we'd shoot it.
Yeah.
You know, the film's all about nature and music and gratitude. It's meditative, modern spirituality, or like all the kind of things people are saying to me about it. But the nature is a huge part of it. And, you know, it just didn't make sense to bring all flashy, you know, equipment and lights and stuff into it. So it's very natural, very observational, I suppose, and intimate. And the proof of concept was a great thing to do. And it just set us up for when we did go and shoot it in December. We kind of knew exactly how we wanted it to be.
And backtracking further, the genesis of the project just came from you going to one of these gigs at Christmas, right?
Yeah. I went to one of Damo's gigs. My mum was very sick at the time, and someone told me, you know, man, you should go and see Damo. It'd be good for you, you know. And I went along and my wife was pregnant.
What were you thinking, like, when they said that?
Well, like, I'd been aware of Damo's music, obviously, I'd listened to it, but, like, I hadn't, you know, fully bought into it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, look, just, if you're going through a hard time, you know, go see Damo. It'll make you feel better. So I went along and my wife was pregnant and we sat up in Vicar Street and watched the show, and I spent the whole gig like watching the crowd and then watching Damo, and the crowd were crying, and then Damo was like, you know, he was like really feeling, it was almost like he was giving them the music and then they were giving him something back, and it was like this two-way thing, and it just created this amazing energy in the room. And I cried my eyes out during the gig, and you know, just all that stuff that I was going through just kind of came out, and then at the end just walked out of there feeling great, you know, felt like I'd been kind of cleansed spiritually or something, you know. It was a very strange experience. And I've been to so many gigs down the years, you know, massive music fan, but I'd never, you know, seen a connection between the artist and the crowd in this way.
Yeah.
So a few days later I was in the long hall with my friend Ross MacDonald, who's, you know, amazing director, photographer. And the two of us were having a pint, and I was like, Ross, geez, I went to this gig the other night. And he said, oh, I went to it last year. And then he was like, he had this idea that, you know, geez, a documentary about Damo and the fans. And I think he'd been trying to get it going, but, you know, hadn't really. And the minute he said it, I was like, I want in on that. I want in on that. Can I make that with you? Let's do it, you know. So for about a year after that, he was based in New York and I was based in Ireland, and we were kind of emailing back and forth. And I was like, Ross, come on, let's do it. And I thought he'd direct it and that I'd produce it. And then after a while, you know, he was in New York, I'm in Dublin. He was like, he saw 99 Problems, obviously. He was like, man, why don't you direct it, you know? And I'd never directed a feature doc before, so... You know, I'd done a couple of shorts, but, you know, a feature doc was kind of, I guess, something that I hadn't really been, obviously, yeah, maybe working towards subconsciously, but it wasn't on my agenda at the time. So I was like, oh, okay. So at that point then, I wrote out, you know, my idea for it, what it would be, what songs we'd use, you know, how we'd shoot it, what kind of characters we were looking for. And through a mutual friend, got it to Damo. And then managed to get to meet Damo in a cafe in Raheny. This is now, where are we now? Probably February, March 2019. And he sat opposite me and I kind of read through the treatment going, look, we'll start with this and we're looking for that. And, you know, this song and it's all about this and that. And he didn't really say a whole lot. And I was like, oh, he must think I'm an absolute dick. like, I just didn't know what he made of me, you know. At the end of it, he just kind of looked up and he said, I love it. Let's make a film that helps people, you know. And that was kind of the rule number one, was like, can this film, you know. I definitely, when I went to the gig, I felt something that helped me, you know. And I feel like capturing what goes on in the gig was like that was the number two thing, was to capture authentically what goes on in that room, and try and document that and show and put that on screen. And then number three then was to, you know, meet some of the cast, or sorry, some of his fans, turn the lens on the fans and try and understand what it is about this music, what it is about this environment in Vicar Street that resonates so deeply with people and that makes people want to go every year, because it's like this ritual thing. Everyone goes every year to the Church of Damo, they call it, to kind of have this spiritual cleansing kind of experience that I felt, you know. And I'm, you know, it's a real thing, you know. Yeah. And it's hard to explain. And a lot of people have seen the film now who are like, I didn't really get Damo, but now I know what he's all about, you know.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the three things, to capture the, because Damo's all about authenticity. He's honest. There's a rawness to him.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people respond to him so much, you know. They believe him. I believed him when I watched.
Yeah.
That gig, I believed every bit of it, you know. Yeah. I could tell all the things he was singing about, he'd experienced himself, you know.
And if you had a pitch to kind of a straight, standard documentary about his life, you probably wouldn't have gone for it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Yeah, we never wanted to do that, you know. It was always like, yes, we were going to learn about Damien and what he's about, but we weren't going to do it in that typical kind of
linear
by the book. He was born here, then he did that way, you know.
Yeah.
So I think he really loved that idea, you know, and that appealed to him. And he kind of subsequently says he just got a good vibe off me, and he watched Becoming Men and he watched 99 Problems, and you know, he liked what he saw, and I know gave me the green light to kind of go further with it, you know. And once we got Damo's approval, that's when kind of picked the phone to Narian, you know, and was like, right, we're doing this, are you in? So started, you know, looking at who the cast would be and when we'd shoot and how we'd shoot it.
So we are trying out a bit of a new format for the podcast and breaking things up a little bit. So here is the section of the show where we talk about a little bit of news. So we're always kind of looking for news, and we want this to be a useful part of the show for people. So there's nothing worse than missing a deadline or hearing about a course afterwards or something like that. So we want to kind of use this part of the show to kind of keep people up to date on what's going on in the industry. So if you have any news or deadlines, or if you're part of an organization that wants to share some news or something that they're doing, a project, please drop us a line at info@wearefni.com. And we are also setting up an FNI newsletter to keep people informed on these things. So if you go to wearefni.com, you can sign up for the newsletter there. So we'll start off with a bit of FNI news. So there is an acting course with the amazing character actor Ewan Bremmer. Almost said Ewan McGregor. What an idiot. Ewan Bremmer, sorry. Who could forget Spud from Trainspotting and so many other films? Saw him actually in Creation Stories recently as the Alan McGee, the Oasis manager. It was actually a lot of fun. So he is doing a course over a couple of weekends. So you can register your interest in that, and when the dates are online or when they have definite dates, you'll be informed. There's also a couple of great Irish films out in the cinema at the moment, like Arrakt and Deadly Cuts. I would really encourage you to go see those films, and also keep an eye out for Love Yourself Today, which is going to be released in the next couple of weeks. So let's go back to our conversation with Ross and Narian. And Narian, how did you kind of get your head around it as a project? And kind of what did you kind of bring then, your style?
Ross sent me a document that pretty much outlined what his intention was for it. And we talked about it, and he was talking about bringing the elements into it. So one character would represent fire, another would represent water, air, and earth. And we then thinking about how we'd be able to bring that into the film. And then it was a thing of just really trying to make the most of every frame and like giving it space to breathe. So a lot of the shots we'd say, okay, we'll keep on this for 20 seconds. And also when the shots be moving, it'd be always to find a way of moving from one thing to the other without it necessarily having to be cut up in the edit. So it was a very kind of calm cinematography style to it. And it was always the intention of shooting it in black and white. I think it's kind of gets rid of some of the distractions. Mm. It's very, very fond memory of just being on this project. It's really, Damien Dempsey is like, he's something else. It felt privileged filming him, being 40 centimeters away from his face and shooting a song uninterrupted and moving the camera from his hands to his face. And just you could just really keep a camera looking at him and it's mesmerizing. So it is, yeah, was really a great project to be part of.
And there's a kind of a observational feel as well when you're going. So like, I guess really important just to be nimble and very loose. Was it a lot of kind of handheld for this one?
Yeah, it's a mixture of handheld and sticks, but yeah, mostly handheld. We shot on my Cook S2 and we had a 19-90mm Fujinon lens. And I think I just try and make myself invisible when I'm there and just give the people as much space as they need. And yeah, it's a very kind of observational style. We wouldn't talk to, it's, you know, there's no interviews in it as such. That they are audio interviews. So it's just observing people, that's what they're doing in their environment.
And Ross, we had Mick Mann on a while back. Maybe tell us about the editing process. And I know that's really your trade going back. How does that work for you?
Yeah, it was brilliant working with Mick. Like I said at the start, like I'd never done really a feature doc before. So I wanted to work with someone who'd been down that road, you know, and who knew that road. And, Mick was someone I really admired. I'd seen Gaza and I was like really loved it and, you know, ended up meeting Mick after and, you know, we hit it off and, you know, just chatting to him over the phone about the project, which, you know, just wanted, yeah, I wanted someone really experienced who could push me, you know, because I'd very good idea of what it was going to be, but like I wanted someone to challenge me. And same with Narian, working with Narian, you know, you want to be challenged, you want someone to push you to make it better, you know, and that's a huge part of it for me. But with Mick, it was all done, well, not all done, a lot of it was done remotely. This is the funny thing as well, like we filmed December 2019. And then March 2020, obviously COVID hit. And I'm kind of looking at the footage just going, it was just like watching footage from the 1920s or something. It was like, just felt so distant. It felt like, I felt nostalgic watching it. Like, oh, remember we used to go to gigs. And this was like 4 months ago, you know, that we'd filmed it. And suddenly it was completely from a bygone era, you know. And there was a real worry. I was like, oh, the film's, you know, fucked. This film isn't going to be relevant now because COVID is the world and everything is COVID, COVID, COVID. And something that's, do we have to mention COVID in the film? Do we have to acknowledge that this has happened? Should we follow the cast through COVID now and see how they're all doing? And, you know, all these questions came up and it was like, no, you know, I was really worried. I was just a lot of sleepless nights about, you know, is the film going to ever get made? Is it ever going to come together now, you know?
Or it felt dated already.
Or it was it dated, exactly. Yeah, that's, you know, exactly it. Like, back to Mick. Got in touch with Mick. Mick loved the idea. Big, massive music fan, you know. Was aware of Damo, wasn't like, you know, a big fan, but like obviously curious enough to get involved. And we started the edit. I ended up doing, like, I did like a kind of a 3-hour edit assemble kind of thing that I kind of sent to Mick and was like, look, this is the vibe, and got all the footage to him. Mick's based down in Yall in Cork, East Cork, and he started cracking into it. And it was brilliant. We're just going back and forth over Zoom and, you know, just talking about different ways we can do it. And as Narian said, we had a fourth character at this point. So there was the four characters and then Damo. We just started, getting into it. And what was brilliant working with Mick was just the narrative. You know, I'm grand at, you know, we can shoot things and we can cut it together and make it all look nice. But it's like the storytelling, what information you give at the start, what goes in the middle, what information you hold back till the last third or whatever. All that stuff was amazing to work with Mick on. And like when we got into the kind of stage where we were, you know, what about we put that scene there and that scene there? We'd had all the scenes cut, you know, that was all no problem to get to. But then it's like just moving them around and it was just so interesting, that part of it. And that's where Mick really came into his own, you know. And we worked remotely, but then Mick came up to Dublin for a couple of weeks in the summer and we really got loads done then. And then he came up again I think it was September, and then he came up again at Christmas time, and that was kind of when we got Picture Lock.
Right.
So, but as you know yourself, if someone had told me that I'd be doing my first feature doc working with an editor remotely, I would have, you know, I wouldn't have probably been able to get my head around that at all.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because editing to me is all about sitting in a room and really, you know, immersing yourself with one other person and, you know, just really getting into it. And it's very hard to do that remotely, I think. When we got in the room together, it was great. And we really got a lot of work done. And finally got kind of Picture Lock December 2020. So it was a kind of Mick had other jobs on as well. So we were kind of dipping in and out of it.
Yeah.
We didn't edit it in one clean block. It was a relatively short edit. I thought it was really long, but Mick was like, we hardly had any time to cut that.
Right.
But for me, it was like really long. I'm used to doing things in 24 hours now. Well, that's the, yeah, I guess, yeah. So, it was just brilliant working with Mick on that, you know.
Yeah.
And very grateful for what he brought to it.
Yeah. And then you're obviously kind of waiting to see how things went. And once you were finished, and then finally.
Yeah. So we kind of Picture Locked, say, December 2020. And then we're kind of going into the new year. And obviously COVID's back. And it's like, oh, great. You know, we're all in lockdown. So there's no mad urgency to get the thing finished, you know. So did the grade with Pete Oppersdorf, MPC, did a lovely job in the grade, just brought lovely tones to the black and white, and obviously Narian sat in on that, but like, again, we didn't go mad doing anything tricksy with the grade. It was just like, just make it look consistent and real, you know. But that was a nice process, and then worked with Jim Latimer on the sound design, who was great. Jim brought so much to the sound and just all the layers. And John Reynolds then, who's Damo's producer and has basically produced every record Damo's ever worked. He's also the drummer in the band. John mixed all the gig music.
Okay. Yeah.
And then he did the soundtrack. So the soundtrack was really interesting as well. It was like, I want kind of ambient versions of demo songs.
Yeah.
So when you listen to the soundtrack, it's like an ambient version kind of Apple in My Eye.
Right, yeah.
Not On Your Own Tonight. There's a little subtle kind of,
yeah.
It's like, it's the melodies of demo songs. But
yeah.
So it's really cool demo's touch. World. So it was brilliant working with John on that. But that was all stuff I was doing this year, 2021.
Right.
And then eventually we finished it, you know.
It's quite a special premiere then. Outdoors will be a memorable one in Galway.
Yeah, so Galway Film Festival was the world premiere of the film. And that was amazing. I always had this kind of, when COVID hit at the start of 2020, just kind of visualizing watching it with people someday, you know. And that kind of kept me motivated, you know. Like, God, no, someday we're going to watch this in with loads of people, and all the cast will be there, and all the crew will be there, and Damo will be there, and family and friends will be there.
Yeah.
And just kind of visualizing that moment and that, that event. And Galway kind of was that, I suppose. So Galway Film Festival took it, that they showed it, and it was brilliant. It was like an outdoor screening, beautiful evening, July evening, and it was when the weather was amazing. So we all went down to Galway, and yeah, it was really special. It was about 200 people, but we all wearing headphones, so it was like silent disco type thing.
Yeah, I brought in my bag of cans.
You brought in your bag of cans. There was a few bags of cans there, and yeah, it was great. All the cast came down, Damo came down, you know, Narian was there, Mick was there, Jim, John Reynolds, Louise, I mean, everyone who worked so hard on the project, Ross McDonald was there, you know, it was just great to have, and Rory Gilmartin as well, who was like, Rory really helped, came on as exec producer and really helped us along the way as well. And it was just brilliant to have everyone there who was involved in the film. It was a really special night, you know.
And release now, so 5th of November.
5th of November, it's getting released nationwide.
Remember the 5th of November. Hopefully that'll stick in people's heads.
That's good, yeah. That's good, I might use that now.
Yeah.
5th of November, it gets released, and yeah, just we're doing an Irish tour. I don't know when this is going out, but we're doing an Irish tour, so we'll have a screening in Swords on the 25th. We're doing a kind of an industry screener on the 26th in the Lighthouse. 27th, we're in Cork. 28th, we're in Galway. 29th, I have a night off. It's my anniversary as well. So
Fair enough.
And then Saturday, the 30th of October, we're going to London to screen it in the Barbican.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, which is part of the Dock and Roll Music Film Festival, which is a great festival actually, because we're not only are we screening it in London, then we screen it in Nottingham the next night, then Glasgow, then Manchester, then Birmingham, Newcastle and Liverpool. So 7 nights in a row it's screening in the UK, and I'll be at all of those.
Wow.
Yeah, so out of 12 nights, I think 11 nights are I'll be doing Q&As at the film. I'll be sick of talking about it.
Wow, Jesus. Well, I know you're a busy man. You're doing a lot of press, so we really appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having us, man. It's great.
Yeah, it's great to have you both, and we'll be pushing it. I absolutely love the film. It's a real achievement, so fair play to both of you.
Nice and Paul, appreciate it.
Thank you.
F&I Rap Chat is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network and recorded at the podcast studio in Dublin City Centre. Shoutouts to our sponsors, Wildcard Distribution and Film Equipment Store. This episode was produced and edited by Larry McGann. See you next time on Rap Chat. And before we go, here's another show we recommend that is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Agony Rants, coming soon to the Headstuff Podcast Network. Why can't I not say podcast?
Hello, I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And we have been friends for a very long time.
And that is what we are offering you on our new podcast, Agony Rants. If you need a support group and want to tell us a secret,
or if you need someone to champion you or just cheer you up,
or maybe even some advice
on how to burn down a house or blow up your life or get revenge. So send your secrets, stories and problems to agonyrants@gmail.com.
Agony Rants, coming soon to the Headstuff Podcast Network. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
It sounds a little suggestive, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it was a little bit. It's Barry Cadbury's Caramel Bunny.